Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up to Spirit. I am your host, Celeste Elliott. I am with you every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, just for the joy of it. And I have two very special co-hosts today. My usual coffee, terrible joke, do it every week. And also a very, very, very special co-host, Lorna Hines, who is out of New Jersey, correct?
Yes. Okay. Originally, though, a New Yorker, and I absolutely claim that.
Perfect. Okay. So Lorna, unlike some of my other guests who are neighbors or people that I get to spend a ton of time with, Lorna is somebody that we have a lot of friends in common, and somebody that I have just been admiring from afar. You're all the way in Jersey, and so one day I'm going to get to meet you in person, and I'm excited about it. So, but until that time, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about you, about your background? I always ask my guests, how did you find spiritualism, or how did it find you? And we'll start from there. So,
well, thank you again so much. Yeah. And I so appreciate the opportunity to share some things about my life that may be helpful to others, because I think being helpful and in service is very much fundamentally a part of my DNA and who I am. In terms of my journey, shall we call it, I am the descendant of mediums and intuitives. It wasn't called that, and we didn't know it to be that, mm-hmm. but it absolutely was that, especially on the maternal side. My grandmother coexisted, shall we say, in a religious, spiritual kind of sense. Nice. And as children, we just thought this is what is. And it was only since adulthood that I began to really understand what that was and how I was reared in. She was an avid Episcopalian, but then would have these senses about her, things that she would predict, things that she knew absolutely would happen. And foremost, she was in service to her community, to her family. And so I was reared in that, yeah. and very much have ascribed to it in my own life. As you know, or you may not know, I was very much drawn to spiritualism in a couple of ways. I have always been intuitive and somewhat mediumistic as well, and has used that faculty in situations in my career in mental health and substance abuse. I say I rose up the ranks with a career trajectory, starting as a line or practicing social worker, mm-hmm. all the way up for state and city government positions, cabinet level positions in state government, both in New Jersey and New York. Yeah.
Wow.
This old lady now from the Boogie Down Bronx. At one time, I served both in New York and New Jersey in a variety of positions and wow. in charge of multi-million dollar grants like Project Liberty for 9/11. And I taught in graduate school of social work NYU, Ramapo College, Yeshiva, eminent universities. And I continued teaching till about 3 years ago. So needless to say, I had a very large career, including a private practice of psychotherapy.
Wow.
But somewhere around, I would say, 2003, 2004, something like that, I began to feel something was missing, all right, as many people do.
Right.
And to that end, I began my my search for what that missing part was. I also began to feel all of a sudden a sense of wanting to heal people with my hands. And so I joined the healing ministry to do that. But again, still something was missing. And I joined various groups, including a Monday group, development group with a woman who just gathered women from all over the world. And so my first practices, both intuitive and also mediumistic, was done on telephone. So now that we find ourselves using Zoom, very comfortable with that because she pushed us to really begin to understand clairsentience and clairaudience and how we can really utilize that because everything is energy. Then from 2010, I was drawn to Omega. Okay. And there I met a variety of wonderful, wonderful stellar mediums. And my movement into mediumship was just with a gentle meditation by one of these eminent mediumistic teachers, a very gentle meditation. It went straight into mediumship. And no one was more shocked than myself. And then the next day, the teacher made me get up on platform in front of 200 people, and the rest is history. So I continued to study, and I have had the great pleasure of studying with the world-renowned mediums of the world. And I've had a wonderful, solid foundation, which I hope many of the younger folks will respect our beautiful spiritual practice in that way by taking their time and studying with some of the greats and not jumping after you've had one or two classes to be a teacher or running a circle. But anyway, from there, I was placed into the hands of the Journey Within, Reverend Janet. And it was interesting. The more I attended classes and the more I attended the services, there was something that helped me to develop, to hone and develop. I think it was there already, but there was something where I needed to hone and develop my relationship with God.
Oh.
With our wonderful Father God.
Yeah.
And I, as that began to happen, I knew I was in the right place at the right time with the right people. And from there, my studies and work with the Spiritual National Union International and studies with them that have continued. Mm-hmm. And here I am with you today. After that long story.
You know, it never seems long while it's happening. It's just where we're next and where we're led next. And you know, growing from the roots, as they say. So that's perfect. Yeah, but you've had so many just tremendously successful segments within the totality there that, you know, it's amazing. And I love the point that you made about saying, you know, don't take a class or two and then rush into teaching, rush into, you know, give yourself time because your understanding where you are in the moment is not where it's going to be as you put a little polish on it over time. And, you know, not to not to get into too much, but, you know, it's sort of, I'm always reminded of that verse about when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child. and then as you develop, it's, you grow. So, or you look at different facets. And yeah, that's a beautiful thing. So, so that was, it's fascinating that, you know, you came from such a normalized environment with the mediumship. I love that. I had that also within my house. I don't find it very often. So I get excited when, you know, I see that it's out there in different places. And I think that's very, very helpful and very healing for people. Do you have people that come up to you and say, I think my child is gifted, I think my child can connect with spirit, that on occasion?
Not with children, but adults have come to me in that way. And sometimes frightened of it, sometimes mm-hmm. uncomfortable with it. And so there's an opportunity to normalize, for lack of a better term, that experience for them. And also because I do have a very extensive background in mental health and continue my psychotherapy practice apart from my spiritual practice, I'm very much aware that in some circumstances when people talk about hearing voices and uncomfortable feeling, that they're coming from a different place. So I take time to talk with them about their experience and also point them in the direction of places, spiritual centers and spiritual churches, where they Facebook groups, yeah. where their proclivities and their faculties can be adequately nourished, and again with people that, and I don't know why I'm driving this home today, but people that I respect in terms of their mediumship and mediumship development, people that I trained with. We are so fortunate at the Journey Within that many of the world-renowned mediums, teachers from Arthur Findlay, tutors, come and nurture us there. Yeah. And I've had the wonderful opportunity to work with those people. And I think budding mediums and intuitives, they must allow themselves that. Yeah. It's not a thing where you go for a four-year degree, such as many of us, and you get a BA, and then you're able to do it.
Right.
We have a tradition in spiritual practices. We have a tradition that has to be respected. Mm-hmm. For a student, being a student is something that we all are students forever. Aren't we?
Exactly.
We go to different circles. We go to different development groups and workshops. We read. There's so many different new things that are coming out that we are learning about, that we are exposing ourselves. And if I may, Celeste, I would love to share my particular interest in terms of spiritualism and seeking the historical information regarding people of color and especially African Americans.
Yeah.
Now, I will also tell you a story that I've been to Lilydale, as you know, for the first World Spiritualist Congress. And what a wonderful opportunity. Now, it was, may I say respectfully, hellfire to get there as a person that doesn't particularly like long car rides, but we stopped frequently and try to make it fun.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, upon entering the gates at Lilydale, I was inundated with what I would call visions. And also clear sentient and clear audience things regarding African Americans, enslaved people that were fleeing, and I can even see it,
yes.
even now as I speak to you, mm-hmm. I kept seeing over and over men, women, and children during the winter time fleeing and running through the forest, through trees, through just running. And that image and that sense continued through my visit there. And I spoke with them and I asked them to tell me what it was they wanted me to do and what it was they wanted me to see. And when I had the opportunity to demonstrate in your a large auditorium with other mediums, mm-hmm. I shared that vision as before going into the demonstration.
Yeah.
Only to learn that because a gentleman in the audience came and spoke to me afterwards, and he mentioned that there were churches outside of Lilydale mm-hmm. that was a part of the Underground Railroad. So what I was seeing and being given was validated.
Yeah.
So you have to understand that this was very profound for me. I spoke to people in your library and so forth. But then I was inspired to begin to look at the extent to which there are spiritual practitioners, and I'm widening that that definition,
yeah.
mm-hmm. Of people in history that look like me.
Yeah.
Because I certainly had studied, you know, had studied in terms of my my development as a mediumship. And by the way, again, I want to drive that home. You budding mediums not only must look at the techniques mm-hmm. and the lovely things of evidential mediumship, but study the history so you can begin to see perhaps yourself in the work of many of the people, many of the pioneers in mediumship.
Yeah.
Can you see what it was like for Harry Edwards to heal those thousands and thousands of people? Can you feel what it was like for Emma Hart in Britain to be a woman at that time
right.
and receive these wonderful seven principles that guide now,
yes.
that guide the lives and the thoughts and the reflections and the philosophy of millions of people? Can you imagine what it was like for her? But could you also imagine what it was like for Harriet Hattie E. Wilson, an African-American yes. woman who sat on platform with Andrew Jackson Davis? It's chronicled in the Banner, the
yes.
wonderful newspaper. Or Pascal Beverly Randolph, or Mother Leafy Anderson,
yeah.
all people of color that look like me, that mm-hmm. for whatever reason was not part of the spiritual history
mm-hmm.
that I studied.
Yeah.
And I did ask my eminent teachers, because you see, I'm one of those students that always has their hand up, always wait at the end with lots of questions. They will tell you, oh, here she goes again, lots of questions, because that's part of my character, that's part of my DNA, questions, searching, journaling,
yes.
trying to find the answers to things that I think about, that I feel, that I experience. So I began to talk to my peers of color, which, by the way, is certainly something that we have to work on in
right.
our mediumistic and psychic circles.
Yes.
We have to increase
yeah.
The numbers of people of color that are interested in studying, that are interested in spiritualism, and begin to see the spiritual philosophy, the religion, the science as an opportunity to open up things in their lives,
yes.
to open up their connection to God, which is what I found. So there's some wonderful opportunities here for people of color, if they so wish, both as people that will go into spiritualism, but also people that are would benefit from mediumship, from
yeah.
as sitters, or intuitive work as sitters, we have so much to do, I think, in righting some of the wrongs, may I say.
Yeah, 100%.
Because we know in the 1920s, for many reasons, the spiritual community that heretofore had been a diverse, a loving, an integrated community, fell victim to the horrors of the Jim Crow era and the aftermath. And the people of color were summarily dismissed from the spiritual churches and then went on to form their own churches. But you see, we need to have a re-welcoming, I think. We need to have a healing ceremony, almost, I think, where we say, this is what happened, and we cannot erase the horrors of the past or the mistakes that were made in the past. I think we're learning that, aren't we, also,
I
in our government
so,
here.
I hope so, on a
United
larger
States.
Level. I hope on a macrocosmic level as well as what's affecting our, you know, our smaller spiritualist community. Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, how do you, if you don't examine what happened, if you don't understand the reasons and the damage that it did, and you don't look at that honestly, how can you possibly make it safe to repair that energy? You know, you want to really repair it at the foundation, as well as welcoming and rebuilding and doing it. I think it's part of the healing work.
I agree.
And I'm so I want to mention. So last weekend, I was on the road and I got to Zoom in. I love Zoom for that reason. But you know, somebody that we know in common, which is the amazing Margarita Guillory out of Boston, Boston University professor there. She does phenomenal research. She did a lot of research at University of Rochester and then got a position down in Boston. And she put you organized as part of the a group that you founded, a really incredible lecture on some of the history of the African American spiritualist, I wanted to say movement, but I want to say individuals within spiritualism. I don't know how much we actually touched on, you know, once we were separated, you know, which is highly unfortunate, you know, that because that's a lot lost by that, you know, it didn't start that way. But yeah, you, by the way, you are absolutely correct about the Underground Railroad. And I know that you know that already, but there is a house literally across the lake from Lilydale called the Red Brick House that was, when it was being built, has hiding spots in it. For people coming on the Underground Railroad, because we're so, I don't think people realize how close we are to Canada here, and that was the ultimate goal for a lot of folks who were fleeing. And even after the Emancipation Proclamation, even after legally slavery was ended, it took a very, very long time for that to actually end. So, you know, when it happened and when people got the news, and so those routes were open for a long time after, because it just, you know, even if it was, if you were free, you weren't, you know, it wasn't going away without a struggle. So, you know, so people were still being chased down. And, you know, there were, the majority of people who lived around Casadega Lake. It wasn't just the Lilydale community, but they had the farmland all around Casadega Lake, as well as, you know, we had the Methodist churches or the Baptist churches or the Catholic churches. And so that's, I'm so delighted that you already know all of that. And that you got to bring it up, and because it's really only, but there are so many people who come to me within my own practice here, and they'll look around and they'll go, well, but is there anybody who looks like me? And that, you know, that's really sad and really horrifying, that, you know, you're right. We have to welcome and heal all of that and as much as possible, you know, and it's certainly not going to be an overnight thing.
An acknowledgement, I think, as you're doing in Lilydale. You see, here's the issue, if I may just quickly, I know we're going to end soon.
Oh, no, please.
There is a feeling that people may have that there isn't sufficient resources for us all. But if we follow the understanding of, you know, the fatherhood of God and the extent to which the enormous multi-dimensional availability of resources and energy is so full and so expanded that none of us have to lose by sharing our resources and sharing the platform, so to speak, so that there is a diversity of people that are members of the human family, members of the God family.
Exactly.
It's available for sharing, and I do believe that this is part of our spiritual philosophy. Spiritualist philosophy. So I think it's important that we take steps, those in leadership positions, we take steps to begin to open our doors and not just say everybody is welcome here, because I think that that's important, that statement.
Yeah.
But what are we doing to actually imbue this welcoming to people that heretofore were not welcome?
Yes.
It's, you know, we are part, and I say that if from the spiritualist sense, we are part of an activist activist tradition.
Yeah.
And I think it is time that we acknowledge and implement that tradition in our work with diversity, and acknowledging first the many missing links in history that is part of spiritualism.
Yeah.
You know, I read Maurice Barbanel's book, This is Spiritualism, as part of my studies. And again, his book is excellent with the descriptions of the many seances and so forth. But if you read that book, there is one mention of a Black woman attending a seance. And she's only mentioned that she attended. It didn't say she demonstrated or anything. So we have some work to do. Things need to be written. Things need to be talked about.
Yes.
These people that I mentioned need to be part of our spiritual pioneers list. When we talk about the Fox sisters, we need to talk about Pascal Beverly, because he was in the Rochester area. So the group that I founded, as you say, I originally founded with two others, but since then I am taking a leadership role.
Right.
I'm the administrator of a diverse learning community on Facebook called Mediums of African Ancestry. And this is a community of learners, of people that are in various time frames of their learning, of wanting to open themselves up to understanding the presence and contributions of people of color in spiritual practice, this. And again, we widen it. It's not, we call ourselves mediums, but what is a medium when you think about it? A medium is a transporter. A medium is a liaison.
Mm-hmm.
A medium is in many ways a facilitator mm-hmm. between the discarnate world and the physical world. So we expand our definition of that, and we also expand our definition of African ancestry in that all of us have our beginnings in the continent of Africa, don't we?
Yeah.
When you think exactly. about the genetics and the founding of humanity.
Yeah.
So in that respect, we all have a connection there. And so all are welcome to learn, to exchange. There's a self-help component with us. And of course, as you noted, we will sponsor lectures and workshops and talks that are going to be focused on the subject matter that we're trying to learn about. So yes, we had the wonderful, wonderful Margarita Guillory to speak, to inspire. People are still talking about that that workshop that she led, mm-hmm. and we hope to have her back, as well as many others that are wonderful, wonderful speakers and have wonderful information about the subject. So please tell your listeners, all are welcome. Go on Facebook, type in Mediums of African Ancestry, and see if this is something that is a calling for you.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. I can't tell you all how impressed I am with the group and the information that comes forward there. So if you don't mind, we have a couple of questions that have been written in online, some of which you just very naturally, you must be psychic. You handled them already. Sorry, bad jokes. But we have a question about something that we had talked about earlier, which was, you know, some people come to you and they're very kind of afraid of their gifts and what's going on. And yesterday there was a debate on my Facebook page, just yesterday, because I had shared an article. There's several studies going on right now simultaneously from the scientific community, one of which was Yale Medical, the other of which I'm going to have to remember and look up, but I believe it was out of Great Britain. And it was people trying to look at what is clairaudience really. And is it, you know, in the context of spiritualism and mediumship, versus, you know, mental illness. So when people come to you and they say, you know, I don't want to talk about this, I'm a little afraid because I don't want somebody to slap a label on me and possibly come with the butterfly net, you know, how do you, of course, you are a very trained and highly qualified professional, so that's going to be very different than, you know, than most people and their take on it. So, you know, in general, I guess it's probably better. You know, if somebody comes to you and says they're a little afraid of what's happening, and intuitive burgeoning and mediumistic connections and clairaudience, what do you say to them?
Well, you know, I hesitate to answer your question because I think the experience of myself and that person would be a very individualized personal experience where I hopefully would be using some of my not only intuitive skills, but my skills in mental health.
Right.
Not that I go around evaluating everybody. You must know that.
Yeah.
I have evaluated you, Celeste. So please.
I wasn't worried.
but I think because I have been involved in this arena for so long. It's a natural inclination. It's again, part of my genetics and my DNA. I think if a person was coming to me and saying that their only experience or symptom, for lack of a better term, was clairaudient, I would have some questions about that.
Yeah.
Because we know that clairaudient is one of the faculties. You know, if the person says, I have the sense of hearing things, and you know, when I come into contact with people, I feel their energy. When I come, I have some dreams. And some of the dreams I have seem to, at times, predict the future.
Right.
And, you know, I have this sense. I'm giving you a scenario. I've been a bank teller for all my life. And all of a sudden, I have this feeling that I could help people.
Yeah.
You see, that's a very different scenario than someone saying that I'm a bank teller, and all of a sudden I'm hearing this voice. You see, it's a very different scenario.
Yeah.
So I give you that example, and I hope it helps your listener to begin to understand that the faculties that we have as spiritual practitioners are not standalone faculties.
Right, exactly.
Even amongst the mediums that don't feel they practice within a God-centered practice.
Right.
It's not necessarily standalone.
Right.
So that is how I would respond to that question.
I think that was the most perfect and most beautiful way to put that. So I thank you for that. And I apologize for putting it on the spot there as well, because I should have phrased that all a little differently.
Not at all.
But I think it's such an important thing that context really does matter, you know. And even when you start to talk with somebody and they're like, oh yeah, you know, sometimes I know things ahead of time, and then also, you know, oh, and yeah, there was that one time I was out in a crowd and I heard my name being called, and it sounded very much like my mom, who's in spirit. And it's like, well, yeah, because all of us have these gentle ways that, you know, the spirit world is around us, and, you know, and saying, hey, I'm still here for you. I still love you. And I think that's really important, you know. So, and then there was one other question, and let's see if I can find it, because and I list This Is Spiritualism in the comment section on Facebook, because I know that people are going to ask me about that, by the way, and if the spelling is wrong, I will correct it later. Try to type on the fly. So you answered the question about how they find you and how they find your group, which is fabulous. And hopefully we're going to get something set up that, you know, you'll be in Lilydale at some point, or on Zoom for Lilydale, because we would love that.
I don't know if I mentioned my website,
but
people can also get to me through my website. And
perfect.
They can also find out a lot about me on my website, because I write poetry. I have a book that, with God's help, will come out this year. So it's www.lornajhines.com.
Perfect. Thank
LornaJHines.com.
Yes. And Hines is Hines, by the way.
Yes.
So.
Perfect.
I don't know about you, but I bought up all the domain names that were misspellings of my name, because...
I understand. I do.
So,
I understand.
Yeah.
And I put the J in there because, you know, the Hines, maybe a lot of Hines. There are a lot of Hines in North Carolina, of all places.
Nice.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So I put the J in there so that it would be a little bit off the beaten path.
Perfect. Nice. So, yeah. So we may actually, if there were other questions, we may have accidentally covered them up because Facebook won't let me see everything all at once anymore. But and then if you're up to it real quick before we go, we do have one caller on the line, and we could see what their question may be. So, okay. So caller ending in 8292, what is your name and what question do you have for us today? Morning caller. Can you hear me? Okay. Well, maybe not meant to be, and that's all right. So we tried. That's okay. So I should mention for everybody, please do check out the online events going on lilydaleassembly.org. And do check, because we have all kinds of fascinating things going through the winter. And then the summer catalog and all the classes should be up at some point here pretty soon. I am not in the loop as far as the office anymore, so I've got to actually ask them. But traditionally, it's around February. So, and check out the other Blog Talk Radio shows. There is one every weekday at least, and two on Wednesday. And you can find us at blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio. And most of us also go live on Facebook. So check out Lilydale Assembly, Inc. That's the official Lilydale Facebook page. And yeah, okay. So is there anything exciting, Lorna, you have coming up that you wanted to mention before we take off?
Well, definitely I would say people should check out our Mediums of African Ancestry site, because that's the best place to check out our upcoming events. We have not booked all of the events currently, and when I begin to have another clone of myself, I will send her to make calendars and all the good things that should happen in a group like that.
Yeah.
But right now it's myself and a moderator, Caitlin, who is wonderful. But stay tuned. We definitely are going to have the third week Saturdays. We find Saturdays at 12 noon is the best opportunity to bring people together. So we'll have messages from our ancestors, which is an ongoing monthly opportunity to put a bit of Afrocentric spin on demonstration. And stay tuned. Be aware that that's something everyone is invited to as well. But the workshops, the learning opportunities, all of that will continue, as is some of our world-renowned mediums and teachers will be focused in the group, on the group as well. And we hope to, it's in the organization phase, but we host a workshop on how to be an anti-racist medium.
Beautiful.
We'd like to explore that topic. And Celeste, I would love for you to be part of it.
Oh,
no
sure.
pressure, but I'd love for you to sit on the panel we host that. We're going to do that in terms of a panel.
Great.
There's lots coming up. Myself, I'm doing some demonstrations in churches. I've been invited to participate ongoingly with the Franciscan Spiritualist Church.
Okay.
Hello, Al and Reverend Malcolm. So I am looking forward to that. And also, I'll be doing a demonstration of mediumship. Paul and Margaret Challenger are from they're in Wales, but they're in the SNU. Are hosting a weekly Wednesday demonstration of mediumship, and I will be one of their guest mediums. I believe it's February 24th.
Oh,
And besides that, I am collaborating with a number of people. So stay tuned. You're welcome to join me as a friend and on my Facebook page, Lorna J. Hind. And I'm just looking forward to the presence of light that's going to guide me with this book. I am in the process of working towards ordination. So in a year or so, I hope to be as you are, Reverend Lorna. So there's some just wonderful opportunities. I want to just say that, if you just give me 2 more minutes, Celeste,
please.
I know we're
You're
about
so
to end.
You're so welcome. No worries.
But I'm getting chills as I say this, because I do think that there's something about synchronicity that we both know exists, and I think it's no absolutely synchronistic that we are together here today on your radio show post inauguration.
Yeah.
Here in the United States, and that in many ways the light that we know to be present both within ourselves and also outside of ourselves, and that we are guided with if we often follow that guidance.
Yes.
But that beautiful light that sustains us is something that we really want to continue to hone in on.
Yeah.
And hold close to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because there are so many things that served as a detriment, that served as a impediment, a challenge to that light. And I have always really been inspired to just say to everyone to hold on to that light, hold on to that power. And, you know, our poet laureate yesterday, if I could just share the last 4 words of her poem, Amanda Gorham, because I was, you know, we have to see that light, not only in spiritualists, but people that may have the opportunity towards spiritualism.
Right.
And I'm not saying this for Ms. Gorman, but who knows? Because she's definitely talking like a spiritualist. Here's what she says. Oh, it's just so beautiful. And it gives me chills. And I know that I am... I'm supposed to share this. We will rise from the sun-baked south. We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover. Oh, praise God. And every known nook of our nation and every corner called our country, our people, diverse and beautiful, will emerge, battered and beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it, for there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it. Well done, Amanda Gorman.
Wow.
Well done,
That's
people of the
beautiful.
United States of America, and well done, spiritualists who will begin to own the beautiful diversity, the wonderment of diversity, and the extent to which that diversity has historically been part of modern spiritualism.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. I get chills every time. That's awesome.
So, I did too. I did too. Thank you, Celeste.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on today, and hopefully you will, you know, come back when and talk about your book, and we'll connect again. So, okay. So thank you to everybody in Radio Land and Facebook Land. We appreciate your time and your energy in tuning in today. And just, you know, my usual line, until next time, take care of yourself, and we are wishing you a good day and good vibes.